tied in well with the Sunday school this morning, where we need God every single hour. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I misspoke in my prayer this morning. It was Judge Antonin Scalia, not Judge Alito, that passed away yesterday. Matthew chapter 6. Titles, What Do You Treasure? We'll look at that thought this morning. Last week, I had the opportunity to talk to a pastor who's been ministering to two churches that are struggling right now. Both churches have been around a long time, and he's been talking to the leadership on both churches. Both are struggling with attendance, both are struggling financially, and both are in need of a full-time pastor. And I said, have you talked to them about merging? They are literally 6/10 of a mile away from each other. I said, kind of ironic where we were at, you know, back in 2003, and weren't that far from each other. And he said, I did. I've talked to the leadership of the one church. The other church has a much better building, facilities and all of that. And he said, but I talked to the one church, and the response was from the leaders, we will never leave our building. They would rather die than leave their building. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is, will your heart be also. Prayer. Father, we come before you this morning as we think about that tragic illustration. Lord, and we pray that you'd intervene and these churches would see fit to merge one day and let the cause of Christ be the most important thing. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our midst here today. May we allow you to work here so that we could see you accomplish great things in this area for the cause of Christ. Lord, may nothing be more important in our lives. May we treasure nothing more than Jesus Christ. And I pray that you just stir in our hearts today as we look through this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. That passage, Matthew 6:21, I don't know about you, but we often read that verse. We often read, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. That's not what it says. Now, say maybe it's semantics, maybe it's something different, but which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's the chicken anyway, but which came first here? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is there will your treasure be also? I think it's important the way God put it. He tells us this, where your treasure is, that's what comes first. It's what goes on in your mind, and what we treasure, your heart is soon to follow. We need to keep that thought in mind. Wherever I think about, whatever it is important in my life, whatever is my priority, if my priority is, and years ago, we, 2003, we had the opportunity. As two churches wanting to do something, we had the opportunity to leave a church in Pensgrove that, by the way, was much more ornate and gorgeous than these cinder block walls. But it was clearly God's will to move here. And I thank God, especially for those that have been around for a long time, who are willing to say, you know what? For the cause of Christ, a building's not that important. And I praise God for that. I one of the ones I was so was Newsom. She had been there forever since she grew up there. And her response was godly. I was concerned about Dave because he put so many hours in that building. And he was willing to come here and do the same thing. And there's a concern for a few people that really poured their life into a building. But you know what showed me? They weren't pouring it into a building. They poured it into a ministry. And what a blessing it is. But God tells us here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've said this before, and I believe it's true, and I believe I can say it till the day. Show me your and I will show you your heart. Show me your calendar, and I can show you your heart. Because God says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The word treasure, they're an interesting word. It's actually not a translation of a Greek word. It's a transliteration. It's a transliteration of the word thesaurus. They weren't sure exactly how to, there was no English word, so they took that Greek word and they brought it to the English, and we came up with this new English word, thesaurus. And the word thesaurus literally means it's a place where you collect up and store things that are valuable to you. Now, we've tweaked that word a little bit, and we now have a thesaurus as a collection of synonyms. It's what a thesaurus is. You look at a thesaurus for a collection of synonyms. But literally, it means it's a coffer. For where your coffer is, what you spend your time doing, what you spend your money doing, that's where your heart is. We can't say, man, my heart's really in the ministry of Bethel Bible Baptist Church and not give. I cannot say my heart is at Bethel Bible Baptist Church and not serve and not attend faithfully. I can say all the things I want, but like we said last week, words are cheap. I can tell my waiter, I appreciate your service, and not tip him well. Words are cheap. Go back if you would. It says there, in fact, let me give you a quote from the Holman Bible Commentary. It says this: when a man's treasures are heavenly, he will show much eagerness and earnestness about the things of heaven. But when a man's treasures are earthly, his interest will chiefly be earthly and temporal. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are all a product of what goes on up here. What I think about, I will do. That's a principle. What's important in my mind, what's important in my heart, I find myself doing that. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. Show me what you treasure, and I will show you where your heart is. You may say, Pastor, I just can't afford to give financially, but my heart's there. That's a lie. Because God tells us that we will our money where our mouth is. He doesn't, it's interesting, God made a principle across the board. In the Old Testament, God made a principle and he talked about the tithe. And the tithe wasn't for the rich people. It was for all people. And God made a very basic principle for mankind. 1 Chronicles 28 says this: and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the heart. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. David telling his son Solomon, listen, you must give God your heart and your mind. And when we give God the heart and the mind, guess what? He controls my calendar. He controls my wallet. He controls all of it. But when I'm willing to hold back from God and say, God, I can't go to church every Sunday because I'm busy. I can't get involved in a lot of the activities because I'm busy. Serve you because I'm busy. We're telling God we don't have time for him. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. I appreciate it, but I don't really have time for you. I came across this illustration a couple weeks ago, and I saved it. I thought it was great. It talks about a man. I'm not sure even who wrote it, but he said he loves gardening, and he said he was driving down the road in some backwoods area somewhere in Vancouver Island, and he was vacationing there with him and his wife and a few friends, and they're in the car. There's four of them. And he said he's driving down the road, and it's a back road, so there's not much traffic. But he said all of a sudden he caught in the corner of an eye the most gorgeous garden he's ever seen in his life. And he said, I stopped the car in the middle of the road and got out and walked to the garden. And he said, my wife had to go take the car and go park it somewhere because I was in the middle of the road. But he said, it captivated me. And he said, I walked to this garden. He said, as I walked to the garden, he said, the couple that owned the home came out and invited us inside the gate to show us around. He said, as we walked around, they told us about all the different flowers, what kind of soil and light they needed, how they had been working for years to optimize all their plants. They and were thoroughly enjoying the fruits of their labor. As they walked back to their car, the couple asked me about our garden. I responded sheepishly, well, we really don't have much of one. Then they asked us, who was looking after our garden while we were away from home? I simply said, I don't do it much when I am at home, so it never even occurred to me to have someone tend to it while I was gone. They had been constantly working their garden. We had constantly been neglecting ours. Then he says this, both of our gardens reflect the amount of effort we put into it. As I thought later, I realized that we both really had the gardens we wanted. They wanted an amazing garden, so they worked hard, and they created what they wanted. I had hopes for a garden like that, but I didn't want it bad enough to do that much about it. Think about our spiritual lives. If I were to ask, how many here really want a deep relationship with God? Every one of us would say, of course I do. We'd be foolish to say, no, I'm not really interested. But every single one of us is a reflection of what we want to be. I've said it. I am as fat as I want to be. Now, do I want to be skinny? Of course. I've told you I'm going to lose 20 pounds by June 1st. I've lost 10. I'm working at it. I want to have 20 by June 1st. And then we're going to keep going. But I need a goal. My goal is I want to be there. And I ate a lot of chocolate yesterday and different things, and I'll probably eat some more today. But if I wanted 20 pounds by now, I could have done it. And we think about the church that we have here. We all would say, man, we wish we had more. We wish we had the addition built. We wish we had the new sanctuary. Folks, we have what we want. That's what we have. And so we look at, you know, we wish we had more people here visit. Did we invite somebody? We have really what we want. Your walk with God, you have what you want because God's told us how to have a close walk with Him. How much time do you spend in His Word? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend applying the Word of God to your life? My spiritual garden is what I want it to be. And when I want it to look better, it takes work to make it better. So God tells our inner man can be found near the things that we treasure. God tells us that in Hebrews 4:12 that the scriptures are a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I can tell you my heart's here, but God knows whether my heart's here or not, doesn't He? He sees it all. I can't hide from God. God sees to the deepest interest of my minds and my thoughts and my hearts, and God knows what's going on inside of me. I cannot hide anything from God. He knows where my treasure is. Let me ask you a question. What is more precious to you than reading your Bible every morning? What is more precious to you than attending church? What's more precious to you than serving God, than living a holy life? And whatever we would put in there, and we would all say nothing, but if I start my day without God, then I wasn't serious. If other things are more important to me than church, then I'm not as serious as I think I am. I'm even more serious than my neighbor next to me. But I may not be as serious as I think I am. My inner man can be found near the things that I treasure. Not the other way around. Not my heart's there, but I just don't have time. No, I have time for what is important to me. I have the money for what is important to me. Those who would say, I really can't afford to tithe, many of us have smartphones and cable TV and a loan on a car and other things that we pay for that we have to have. but we just can't afford to tithe. We can't afford God. God says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Notice back up in verse 19. We are all investing our lives in something. I deliberately didn't put the notes in the bulletin this morning, so I'll try to remember to give it to you. So the first thing is our inner man can be found near the things we treasure. Number two, we are all investing our lives in something. He says this in verse 19, lay not up for your treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. How in the world do we send treasures to heaven? Well, we send treasure to heaven by the way we serve God with the right heart. When we put money in the offering plate with the right motives, we use that in the ministry of the church for various things, but ultimately that went to heaven. And God recorded that in his book of the deeds that he's going to reward us for. When it's done, any good deed that we've done for God, any good deed with the right motive is in heaven, and God will reward us accordingly one day. Much more than we ever deserved. Now, he doesn't reward just because we give. He doesn't reward just because we serve. He's concerned about my motive. Because if I serve or if I give or I do anything with the wrong motive, God says, you know what, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That will burn up. That will be worthless. But what an opportunity. Sinners like us get the privilege of serving the King of Kings. What a blessing. We ought to jump at that opportunity. Again, if God were to say today in heaven, if he were to say, I need an angel who will, guess how many hands are going to go up? Every one of those angels say, me! Let me do it! Because they're so excited to serve God. But when we have opportunities to serve God on the earth, do we look and say, God, let me do it? Why can't I serve? How can I be used of you more effectively? Or is our heart, don't make eye contact because they may think I want to serve? Folks, we need to be excited about serving. The householder. It said that the householder, he gave to his servants, to one, 5, to another, 2, to another, 1 talent. And it said he went away on a long journey and he came back to reckon with them what he gave to them. And the one who had 5, he got 5 more. To the one who had 2, he got 2 more. To the one who had 1, he said, you know what? I had the 1, it didn't much, so I didn't want to use it for you. I hid it. So here's your 1 back. God's response to him was this. Thou wicked, and what's the next word? Slothful servant. I don't ever want to be called by God a wicked and slothful servant. But when I'm not willing to invest my life in him, that's what he calls me. He calls me wicked and slothful. When God says, as much as I have opportunity, let us do good to the household of faith. When I have opportunity to serve God and I say, no, thank you, God, I'd rather just do things for myself, God calls me wicked and slothful. I'm here for him, not for self. Our treasure does not have to be financial. It's whatever we hold dear in life. It's what we live for. It's something we can't imagine living without. It's what drives you. It's those things that we will sacrifice for and pour our time and money into. I came across this in the newspaper February 3rd. Some of you saw it. Muskrat dinner tradition is kept alive through an effort that goes from the creeks to the kitchens. Why anyone would want to keep that tradition alive is beyond me. But it says this. South Jersey marked the 78th year a muskrat dinner was held at the firehouse in the village of Hancock's Bridge in Lower Alloways Creek. It was to begin at 5 p.m., it said one group had been sitting in their car outside the hall since 3:30 p.m. to eat muskrat. This year it was was just one 5 p.m. seating, and all 125 tickets were sold at $30 each and sold out in advance. They said there was a waiting list of at least 30 people who wanted to come eat muskrat. But here's the tagline at the end. Whether there is a 79th dinner will depend on the availability of muskrat and the volunteers needed to serve them. According to Hill, I hate to see it end. There are people that treasure muskrat dinner. I had a dear friend, Pastor Mark Franklin, who treasured trapping and eating muskrat. It's beyond my wildest dreams why anybody, I hope I go to my grave never having tasted muskrat. There's nothing wrong with muskrat dinners, biblically. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to trap them and sit in muddy marshes for hours. It's just disgusting beyond measure to me. But some people love it and they treasure that. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as that does not come between them and God. And my dear friend Mark Franklin never let it come between him and God. He thoroughly enjoyed that kind of stuff, but it was way down on the priority list for him. God was number one. But that tells you people treasure things, don't they? A muskrat dinner, of all things. But guess what? There are things in my life that I treasure that you may think are just completely stupid and me of you. But let's all be clear. Unless we are all treasuring Jesus Christ as our sole priority, we are out of balance and out of focus. He must be number one in our lives in everything. God tells us if we lay up things that are on the earth, it's only going to rust. It's only going to fade away. But things that are eternal will last forever. God wants me investing. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, he says in verse 20. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? You see, if all our investing is on this earth, it will fade away. It will not count for anything. And in heaven, we will regret that we didn't spend more time serving God. Number three, we can only have one master. Look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I think what he's trying to get across there is he's saying our eyes, the light comes into our eyes, and if our eyes are working correctly, we are able to reflect the light and we're able to see. But we all struggle, especially if we get older, we struggle with our eyes. Some of us have struggled for our whole lives. But our eyes are so important to us. The light comes in our eyes. We're able to see, and we're able to understand, and we're able to see. But we all remember the cartoon of Mr. Magoo, right? Some of you younger people don't remember that. But Mr. Magoo, the cartoon character, he went around and he couldn't see a thing hardly at all. And it was comical and hilarious to watch him make all these kind of bumbling moves. It was funny until people started calling me Mr. Magoo because I couldn't see too well. I remember one day we were heading to Florida. I've told this story before. I'd taken my sister to college. We had a big 15-passenger van, and I had the privilege of driving a part of the way. And I've had astigmatism my whole life, so I can't see at a distance real well. And so it was real early in the morning, probably 4 or 5 in the morning. So my dad went in the back. He's laying on the ground. He's asleep. Lets me drive. I'm driving down. All of a sudden, we get to a spot, traffic jam. My dad wakes up. He said, what's going on? I said, I have no clue. Everybody stopped. People are out walking around their cars. He said, it must be a major accident. He gets out. He starts talking to people. He comes back to the car. He says, did you see any orange signs? I said, yeah, there were a lot of orange signs. Did you read them? I said, I couldn't see what they said. He said, well, they said the road was going to be closed until 6 a.m. He said, had you told me that, we could have gone a different way. And so we had to sit there for another half hour or so before they open the road up. But again, it does us no good if we think we can see then we can't say. That's why my family finally convinced me that I need these stupid things. Because I can't read that anymore without these. And I hate them. But I have to use them. And I denied it for a long time. I can see fine. I can see fine. Till people kept asking me, are you reading a different version of the Bible than I am? No, I can see fine. God says this, if you think you can see fine spiritually, and you can't, he said, how great is that darkness? How horrible is that if I think I'm pretty spiritual, and yet I'm not? How great is that type of darkness? No man, not you, not me, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon literally means possessions, wealth, stuff. You cannot serve God and anything else. We spoke last week about following the one King, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ did not come to be part of your little kingdom on this earth. He came to transfer you from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of his dear Son, and there's one King there. Now, I can ask him to leave the throne, and I can get on the throne, and I do that, and you do that. But if I want God's blessing on my life, I must never serve any other master but Jesus Christ. Because he will not stay on the throne when I serve somebody else or something else. He's God. He's the King. And there is no way to serve him unless I serve him alone. Goes back to verse 21. What's important to you? Where your treasure is. That's where your heart's at. That's not where your heart's heading. Again, you look at your calendar this past year. The things that were important to you, you found a way to do them. The things that weren't that important, we just couldn't do that. We just didn't have the time. We weren't able to fit it into our schedule because it wasn't a priority to us. We were able to figure out things that we wanted to buy. Putting money in the offering plate. Because we just can't really afford that. Because that's not a priority to many of us. In Hebrews 11:26, it tells us that Moses approached of riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the of reward. That word treasures in Egypt, same word is used here. Moses was more concerned about the treasures he was laying up in heaven than the treasures he had in Egypt. And by the way, Moses could have been the next Pharaoh. Moses could have been the most wealthy and most powerful man on the face of the earth. And he said, no thanks. God's more important. And he turned away because he trusted God. You and I may not have a lot of material possessions, a lot of money, but we all have the time and talents that we have been given by God, and he wants us to give them back to him as a priority to use in his service. There's a great song, many of you know it, but it's called Find Us Faithful. And it says, after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. One day our kids are going to go through our stuff. And they're going to find Bibles that we had left. And they're going to look through it, find out where we marked it or didn't mark it. They're going to find out what our possessions were, and they may see our bank accounts and what we gave to the cause of Christ. They may see some old calendars. They're going to find out where we spend our time. And they know a lot of that now. But what are our kids going to think about us one day? What are the grandkids going to remember about our service to God? Are they going to remember that, you know what, church was a priority unless this came up? Because if this came up, this trumped church. Or are they going to recognize that, you know what, church trumped everything? Because it's about God. When it came to finance, if it was a struggle of are we going to pay this or are we going to give to God? Are they going to remember that, you know what, I never saw an offering plate go by that mom and dad didn't put something in it? Because they knew that was a priority. May all who come behind us find us faithful. This is here because of those who've gone before us, who gave and who served. And now it's our time. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay faithful to Jesus Christ? In the back of your bulletin, if you would, there's a song we sang last week. I invite you to turn there. I want to sing that again this morning. I'd love you to memorize it and learn it. It's an important song. It reminds us to walk worthy of the Lord. You can remain seated because I want to share a few things with you after this as well. But hymn number 510.